But we're week five of a 6-week series, and we're talking about the fight to win. And as you know, I've said this before, it's not a marriage series. It's not just for those who have bad neighbors. A couple of you have those too, probably, and or cranky bosses. No, it's a series for everyone, right? And because why? Because we all struggle with controlling our thoughts and making them honorable and glorifying to a living God. And you are, I don't know if you remember this or know this yet. Maybe this is your first time in on this series, but you are in a war, whether you know it or not, right? You are under attack. Your life is under attack. Your mind is under attack. Your attitude, you are in a battle for your mind and for your heart. And guess what? The voices that control your mind are the voices that are controlling your life, right? We've been learning that. And sometimes you just want to give up and you want to give in and, you know, throw in the towel and let your thoughts and emotions run rampant and run wild. And you know what you need? You need a new voice in your mind, right? That's what we need. We need a new voice in our mind. We need to make some slight adjustments, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And we need to listen in for the voice of faith and of trust. That's the voice we're listening to. The voice of your good shepherd who has prepared a table for you in the midst of your troubles, in the middle of the valley, in the midst of your circumstances. Who he's so good. And you know what? He prepared it just for two. Just the two of you. Just the two of us. Me and Jesus, right? I know, I go old school sometimes. Too often, here's what we do. We allow the enemy to occupy spaces that he shouldn't be occupying. But what if you and I, friends, could learn how to lean in and swing big and fight back? So we want to live victorious lives in Christ Jesus. We want to fight back. And here's what you will learn throughout the rest of the series. And I hope you've been learning some of this already. And I hope you'll take some notes tonight. You are going to learn how to take authority of your thoughts and your emotions. And through the power that you have in Christ Jesus, we can defeat the enemy. Are you ready to fight back and defeat the enemy tonight? Last week, we pushed back against the identity crisis that so many of us find ourselves experiencing. And when it comes to sin and shame and lust and temptation, fear, worry, doubt, we often have forgotten who we are when we walk through these things and we get swallowed up by the lies. We listen to the wrong voice. We've allowed the devil to pull up a chair to our table and we've been listening to him all night long. Oh, we want to push back and we want to know who we are and what God destined us to be, because sometimes we just forget who we are meant to be in Christ Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, as a believer, you are a new creation. The old is gone. You've become brand new. Do you believe it? And I want to be all that God has destined me to be in, and I want to live out his purposes for my life, and I desperately want the same thing for you. I believe you can walk in it as well. So last Sunday, we learned about the power of knowing who you truly are in Christ Jesus. And when I know whose I am and who I'm walking with and who I'm seated at the table with, I can fight back against shame and worry and those self-defeating thoughts even that I allow. I can resist the voice of the enemy in my life. You, friends, have victory in Christ Jesus. You do. If you're a follower, he has already won. We're going to talk more about this tonight. You can live your life from a place of victory instead of defeat when you actually know whose you are. Does anybody want to know whose they are tonight? You belong to Jesus. Everyone who's been created has been created in the image of Christ, in the image of God. And see, the devil sees you made in the image of God. He's like, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy everything good that God designed, including your marriage and your faithfulness and your ability to think godly thoughts and line up and align with the heart of Christ. The devil wants to do everything he can to take you out at the knees. The old is gone. He is won, and you can live your life from a place of victory instead of defeat. You are a new creation in Christ. You're not just a sinner, as I mentioned earlier, but now a saint with a brand new. See, he took the stony heart out of your life and he gave you a brand new heart of flesh that saw. And he inscribed his commands upon that heart, just like he wrote on the Ten Commandments way back when on stone. But now he's writing on flesh, a soft heart that is malleable and shapeable and teachable and coachable. It's beautiful what God is doing in our hearts. You're not just a sinner anymore. You're a saint with a brand new heart, clothed in righteousness and secured in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. Everything. Oh, I'm just so excited. Woo, God, you're good. Where's that organ when I need it? What an impressive standing you have in Christ Jesus, friends. You must know who you are. I think I have this for you on a slide. You must train your mind. Write this down. Train your mind and heart to see yourself as victorious in Christ Jesus. You must train your mind and heart to see yourself as victorious in Christ Jesus. You cannot adopt the thoughts of Christ unless you adopt the mindset of Christ. This mind I have given in you, I have put in you, a new heart, and you have the mind of Christ in you, the character of Christ in you. And today I believe what I've prepared for you is a message that will help you take more action, take another step. We're a church about all about taking another step. Everyone, I don't care how long you've been faithing, day or 100 years, we all can take another step in our faithing, in maturity, in closeness and proximity to Jesus, in our trust and our faith. I believe it will equip you and provide some tools to help you swing big and fight back. And so I hope you'll take some notes. Let me talk to you. Did you know research indicates that there's a 34% chance that students will remember key information if they take notes and if it's present in their notes, but only 5% chance if not. So if you don't take notes, like, the chance of you retaining anything is pretty minimal. So I encourage you, be pupils, be students. Note-taking keeps you alert, by the way. It's Sunday night. Some of you are tired. You did all kinds of crazy things today, and you saved what's left over for Jesus, just so you know. But some of you, this is how you keep alert. You take some notes. You engage yourself. It engages your mind, right? And it helps you to make studying and understanding easier after class. It's kind of what we're doing tonight, class. And that's why we do city groups too, like, and team. It's called discipleship. We're becoming more and more like Christ Jesus because we're learning as we look into the Word of God. What am I supposed to look like? What's my behavior, my attitude, my character supposed to reflect and resemble? That's what we're talking about, right? So don't waste these moments. Take notes and make your adjustments. That was for free. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't won at everything that I've done. Like, when I play Dutch Blitz with Mikey, like, he wins, like, 5 out of at least, 7 games or whatever it might be when we play. And he's just like cheating like crazy probably, but he wins. I'm like, why are you winning? He's so fast at these things. And I don't always win at the things that I do. And I haven't won at everything that I've taken on or participated in, but I've made mistakes in my life too. I have, just like some of you. And I've actually quit early sometimes too. Well, I don't feel like doing this. I quit. I'm out. I've done that too. And I've taken on more than I can chew. I don't know. Have you ever taken on a big chewy steak and you're like, and you're like, if I don't chew this, I'm going to choke him to death on this probably, right? So I've taken on things and you end up spitting it out and without anybody looking, you're like trying to cut it in half again. It's like, I don't know what this cheap steak is. Who bought this anyways? Right? You have taken on things bigger than you can chew. And I've also had some big wins in my life too. And I'm so thankful to God that he's helped me and coached me and given me the strength to persevere sometimes. And I've seen some great accomplishments in my life and in my family and in my home, spiritually and physically. And it's been beautiful things that I've championed and things that I've overcome actually as well because of the power of the Holy Spirit in me. And because it takes discipline and practice too, by the way. So don't just get lazy and stop disciplining yourself and let the Holy Spirit try to do all the work. He's going to say, get off your butt. Let's do some work together, bro. We're going to go to the treadmill and lose some of that pizza belly you got there. Let's go. So yet I've also recognized that past failures and memories of my, listen to this, the past failures that I've been through in my own mistakes are sometimes my greatest enemy. The negative outcomes and the uncomfortable situations, the poor results of that thing that I did, those are the ones that seem to stick more to my brain, more to my heart, more to me than the positives or than the wins. Have you ever felt like that before? That's more about the negative things in my life. All I can think, when I think about stories, it's all the crappy stories. It's not about the wins until I really sit down with my wife and she's like the Holy Spirit sometimes in my life. And she talks, well, what about this, right? Now, there's many a day in my life that I have given the devil, much like you probably too, a seat at your table. And I've even let him eat my entire lunch. Right, and I'm down in the dumps and I'm not living in victory and I'm just like, why is the world? I'm angry maybe too, or I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed. Disappointment, oh my goodness. Disappointment. Every one of you has faced disappointment in your life, haven't you? Frustration, rejection, all these things. And all the while, I still have big dreams, God, right? Big dreams, a great vision for a bright future and for my church and for my family and even for myself as I'm growing in more and more in the character and image of God. And I knew God has, I know he's called me for great things. And I knew he called me as a young man. I can remember specific times in my life and where I was actually laying down prostrate in a camp meeting over here and under a pew over there speaking in tongues as an 8-year-old and different times in my life where God had arrested my heart and said, listen, I got big things for you to do. Will you follow me? Will you trust me? Will you depend on me? Will you die to your life and take up my life? I remember being called into the ministry young, at a young age. And I'm like, what is that even supposed to look like? I don't even know. God paired me with an amazing woman of God, Angela too, Pastor Angela. And she keeps me on track sometimes and texts me when I'm going too late in church. And who has anointed her for kingdom movement and gave us two amazing kids who hardly talk back anymore, but who have put on the mantle. And it's just not my family, friends. God is doing this in your homes too. And your kids and the next generation, God's anointing you for a purpose, has anointed you for a purpose. And he's put a mantle on your robe of righteousness on. He's got things for you to do. And I know God has big things for your family and for your personal growth and for this church and for you as an individual. Yet like some of you have experienced, we sometimes lose sight of what it is going to take to get where God wants to lead you. Right? We can get discouraged and disappointed. You can't even get enough sleep sometimes. You're restless, agitated. Now you're weary and exhausted. You thought life is kind of taking control of your day and now it's eating up your night, right? You're not where you thought you would actually be. You're 40 some odd years, Chris, old, like you should be way more accomplished by now, right? But you just can't seem to change your thought patterns and the voices in your head, they won't shut up and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You've been there, have you? I believe with all my heart though, that you can be friends, that we can fight, that we can swing big and fight back. We can learn. We can train our minds and our hearts and see ourselves victorious in Christ. I believe with all my heart that we can be all that God has destined and called us to be as a church, as an individual, and as a family, as a household. I do believe that you can actually accomplish the assignment that God has called you to be the man and the woman of God that God has created you to be, and for what he's to do what he has appointed you to do for such a time as this. You're here. But here's my big question for you today. Can you see where you want to be? Can you see where you want to be? Do you have a vision for your life? Does it involve Jesus at the center of it? Can you see where you want to be? And I'm not only talking about your personal accomplishments, because that's usually the first thing where, I want to have $1 million in the bank by the time I'm 65. I want to have house paid off. I want to have maybe a couple cars, whatever it might be you're looking to have. Maybe it's for you. You're saying, I want to have a baby. I haven't had a baby yet. I want to have a baby. Maybe it's for you. I want to get married. I can't find someone good looking, whatever. You have to go to Bible school in order, just in case. Right? Maybe the enemy, like I too have experienced, has convinced you that you can't move from where you are now to where you want to be. And I know sometimes that we're listening to the wrong voice. We listen to the voices of fear. And you too have experienced being caught in spirals of sin and temptation. Sometimes that's what's holding us up. That's what's setting us back sometimes, is our appetites for sin, our appetites for pleasure. It may not even be sexual deviance. It might not be that alone, right? It might be lying. It might not be lying. It might be theft. I don't know. Probably not, but maybe. Maybe it has been. Maybe for you. Maybe for you, it's been actually doubting God to see you through your situation, to provide for your needs. Maybe you've allowed yourself to be convinced that you have no value in the kingdom of heaven or in your local church or in your family. Your mind is clouded with uncertainty and worry and insecurity. And the enemy has accomplished all this by what? By pulling up a chair and sitting at your table and talking to you. You've given him room to do that. But you don't need to let him stay there and get comfortable and eat your lunch and wipe his face with your napkin and drink your water. You don't have to keep entertaining the enemy's voice, is what we're saying. Yep. Like last week, we learned you can actually move to a place of victory in your life. Yet this happens when you actually learn to win the battle for your mind. So it's important. You really got to learn how to win the battle for your mind. We're going to give you some tools tonight. So here's a slide for you. When you learn to win the battle for your mind, you can win the battle for your life. When you learn to win the battle for your mind, friends, you can win the battle for your life. I believe that with all my heart. Is there anyone else that wants to believe that? We'll have a little bit of faith tonight for that. See, the enemy is crafty and he's patient. One of his main tactics is to go after your thought life. Remember Eve in the Garden of Eden, the devil, that old serpent, didn't use a microphone from a soapbox and, like kind of thing on a street corner, like street corner preacher to get Eve's attention. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord. That's not what Eve did, or the old serpent. All he did was plant seeds in her mind, thought seeds, and then waited for it to take fruit, waited for it to take root, waited to manifest its fruit. He prompted Eve to question God's motive, God's goodness, his trustworthiness, He coaxed her to wonder, is God really holding out on me? Maybe you've been there. I've been there. I've listened, I don't have it all figured out. I ain't got nothing perfect going on up here. I'm a human being just like you who's pressing in to learn, what does it mean, Jesus, to follow you with all my heart? Is God really holding? Are there really greener pastures on the other side of the fence? Right? We're always looking for greener pastures, aren't we? We hate discomfort as human beings. There's seeds that take root in our hearts and we begin to mull over them and entertain them and brood on them. And as they begin to take root in our heart, they begin to show a fruit, not a healthy fruit. And now I'm bringing someone else into the story because I got to start sharing about my poison. I got to start sharing about this uncomfortable fruit of my life and sharing my doubt and my fear-filled thoughts with my wife or my kids and anyone who's going to lean in to listen, to give me an ear to. Eve acted out on what she was thinking and brought someone else into it. And we do the same thing, don't we? When we're afraid, what do? Our whole household's walking around like, right? When we're frustrated, when we're angry, when we've been listening to the devil, everybody else knows it. We just haven't recognized that it's actually the enemy. It's just dad today. This is how the enemy works, friends. And you got to be savvy. You got to train your mind how to recognize these things. There's a story on account of some spies in Numbers 13, 31 to 33, going back to the Old Testament portion of your Bible. Moses had sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan in preparation for this Hebrew conquest. 10 spies out of 12, 10 returned with a fearful and faithless report. We can't attack these people, Moses. The 10 spies, they are so much stronger than we are. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them too. But hang on a moment. How did these 10 spies who came back doubting and afraid know how they looked in the eyes of the Canaanites? Did they ask their enemy, hey, how big do I look to you? No, I don't believe so. Scripture doesn't give us that. A seed has been planted in their minds, friends, and they nurtured that seed the whole way home, and they shared it with each other in the backseat of the minivan. Right now, there's a whole 10 of them that, well, I want ice cream. They nurtured that seed. They let it grow. They let it fester, maybe you might say. And then they act upon it. And as a result, friends, listen to me. As a result, they wandered the desert for the next 40 years because of their faithlessness. Actually, I would even say because of their disobedience. Meaning they never tasted the promises of God for their lives. Look, friends, it doesn't have to be that way. You've been listening to the wrong voice at your table, and he's robbing you of the promises that God wants you to walk in. You don't have to experience another 40 years, another 40 days, another 40 hours of the wilderness of faithless and disobedience, never tasting of God's promises for your life, And really, God's promise is what? To walk in victory, to walk in newness of life, starting now. Eternity began the day you were born. Victory can be yours. Victory is mine. You know, victory is mine. Victory today, oh man, is mine. This is a good song for you. Victory can be yours right here, right now, tonight. Would you make a commitment? God, I want victory tonight. Can you give me one of these? Victory, or one of these even, whatever. Look, it doesn't have to be this way, right? Victory, here's a slide for you. Victory is about examining the thought seeds, write this down, that have been scattered in your mind, and tossing out the thoughts that do not align with the heart. See, if you want to know what God's saying in your life, why don't you open the Bible? Yep. Stop going to YouTube to look for solutions in God's kingdom. I love YouTube, but it's actually a platform for entertainment, not teaching, by the way. They don't give you a university degree at the end of YouTube. You got to get in the scripture and learn about what God says for you and for your life and the promises that he has for your life. You've got to examine the thoughts that have been scattering in your mind and tossing out the thoughts that do not align with the heart of God. If you want to understand the voice of God, you want to go to understand his word, and that way you can align it. Does this match? It's about pulling them up, these thought seeds, right? These ones that don't align with God's word, that kind of stuff, and not letting them take root in my life. It's about changing the way I think, and I'm taking control of my mind. I'm taking charge here, devil. Get out. This is my table with Jesus. Right, Tony? Maybe one of the thought seeds in your mind is doubt. We all struggle with doubt. We are on episode 5 of a 6-week series, and some of you have already decided halfway through this series, this teaching isn't going to work for me. I've already tried this, Pastor Chris. It ain't working, PC. You don't know what I've tried to do to change the order of my mind already. None of these things have ever worked for me. So why should this? Or maybe for you, you were really good with holding down change and resolutions and rededications, but not for long. Some change happened, but it won't last because it's never lasted for you before. Right? We've been there too. Can you see sometimes as these thought patterns, how the enemy has already influenced your mind, already influenced your thoughts? Seeds have been scattered into your mind. But before you can be set free, you need to see the lies that are holding you hostage. So, Holy Spirit, reveal to us tonight in this room. Let there be an enlightenment of the eyes of our heart right now in this moment. Wherever we are believing lies across this room, Holy Spirit, come and show us tonight. Show me, change me, and fill me. That's what we pray. God, show me where I'm believing lies. Now, God, change me. And Holy Spirit, fill me. Lies of, I'll never change. You know what? I'm going to feel a little bit better if I just sin a little here. Right? The gospel really doesn't work. I'm not worth much. Here's one for you. I know I've said this before. I'm shy. I'm just pushing back on some of this stuff because we've adopted identities that God didn't say, you're shy, by the way. An introvert. I can't trust God with my money. Of course I can't tithe. No one ever believes me. I deserve to be bitter after all I've been through. I'm a failure. I am my own addiction. I was born like this. That was my dad's issue, my granddad's issue. I can't change who I am. I'll always be this way. What? Can you hear yourself thinking? I know you've been telling yourself some lies too. Who told you that it's not the voice of God that's telling you these things? These self-defeating thoughts that are holding you back from being all that God wants you to be and grow into. Listen, none of these thoughts come from God. He doesn't prompt you to worry. He doesn't prompt you to be afraid. He doesn't provoke you to fear. Doesn't make you feel small and insignificant. God brings rest to the weary and overworked mind. He provides clarity to the confused and hope for the despair and for the grieving, purpose for the worthlessness that you might be experiencing. But what's happened is you've left your thoughts unchecked in your mind, and it's taking root and settling in your heart now, and now you're beginning to act on it because it's producing a fruit in your life. And all the thoughts that we entertain in our minds will eventually get played out, by the way. So either our attitudes will reflect those deceptive thoughts or our behaviors will. Proverbs 23:7 talks like this: as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So what's going on in my thoughts, I act upon my thoughts. I act upon whatever I'm brooding on, whatever storm's going up in here, that becomes my playbook. Might take time, but it will come out. So one way or another, those thoughts will harm you. You must learn to take charge of your thoughts. You need help to step into your new identity. Jesus has already won the victory, and he's invited you to his table, into his story with him. You must remind yourself of his truths, friends. I was a sinner, saved by grace. I am now a saint, a new creation. I don't have to sin. I'm not hungry for the passions of my flesh because I am in Christ and Christ is in me, and Christ has all the victory and his victory is mine too. God is always faithful, friends. He's always faithful to provide a way out of whatever you're walking through, whether it be temptations, whether it be your addiction, whether it be your identity crisis, whatever you... I can always take that way out too. See, sometimes I just ignore it. But the longer I ignore it, the more that fruit of the thought seeds that the enemy's planting in my life becomes a bigger part of my life. You've got to step into these truths. Let it change your mind. Let your mind be renewed and washed, as Ephesians 5:26 says. Paul tells us that we are cleansed with the washing of water by the word of God. And there are things in our minds, things that deal with conduct and things that have to do with our character and with our attitude that are cleansed by the word. That's why you must be in your word. It's not because you have to prove anything to God, because you need it. It's a weapon that you can wield. And you can learn what God says about you. And it's beautiful and amazing, and it's not the voice of the enemy in here. Romans 12:2 teaches us to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I didn't bring these on the screen for you, but this transformed by the renewal of your mind. You must think differently. Stop letting feelings dictate your thoughts and responses. By the way, if you keep asking yourself, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my wife? How do I feel about my finances? Feel about my church? A life lived by feeling will never know the transforming power of God because it ignores the renewing of the mind. Let me read that again for you. A life lived by feeling will never know the transforming power of God because it ignores the renewing of the mind. I'm not saying that God doesn't care about your feelings either. He's not against the principles of feeling and emotions. He is a God of powerful, passionate feelings for you and towards you in this world and his church. Yet feelings are completely insufficient foundations for the Christian life. Instead of how do I feel, reframe and ask yourself rather, what is true here? What does God's word say about this situation? What does God's word say about this thing that I'm walking through? About marriage, about my finances, about my cranky boss, about whatever it is you're walking through. You got to think differently. Stop letting your feelings dictate your thoughts. See, your metamorphosis, that's where the word transformation comes from, this metamorphosis where an ugly caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. That's transformation, right? It happens hand in hand with your mind being washed and renewed by the word of God. Then your life will be in the will of God, good and acceptable. Holy Spirit, we need you to work in our hearts and our minds. Church, you and I need to step into these truths that our minds might be changed. You still with me? See, all 12 spies knew that the promised land was good. They all saw the abundance of overflowing milk and honey. Grape clusters so big. Can you imagine this grape cluster? It took two men to carry this thing. That was Numbers 13 and 23. Yet 10 of those spies just disbelieved that they could have what they were promised. I'm not good enough for this. I'm too weak. I'm too small. I'm not good enough. Whatever it might be, right? But here's what they had. They had misplaced faith. Somehow they thought it was about them. It's never been about your faith and your works and how much power you have. It's about the power of Christ in you. It's about your faith in God, who is big and powerful and almighty, who created the heavens and the earth and everything beyond the universe and everything in it, including you and I, who is intricately, beautifully, wonderfully wired. We have misplaced faith sometimes. How about you? How about you? Do you believe? The Bible says faith the size of a mustard seed is what you need to move that mountain in your life. Do you believe that you can live in victory? If the answer is no, whatever situation you're thinking about, even in this moment, the deceiver, the devil, the enemy of everything good, is already winning the war for your mind. No joke. Like, the stakes are high here, right? This is your life we're talking about. This is your now moment that we're talking about. This is your future, your family, your peace, your sanity, your success, your calling, your destiny, your appointment that God has given you that we're talking about. It's not that you have a lack of faith. You just need a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's like so small. You just need a mustard seed size of faith. You've just put your faith in something else. You have misplaced faith. Look, everything that God has made you to be is at stake when you allow the enemy to come and sit at your table and start speaking lies into your life. The devil wants nothing more than to destroy you and your future and your family and everything that you love. He has no mercy and he takes absolute pleasure in seeing you suffer, and he has all the time in the world for it. But thankfully, thanks be to God, your thought life can change tonight. The seeds that the enemy tosses into your direction do not need to remain for any length of time at all. They don't need to be a directive for your life. Seeds do not need to take root in your heart. They don't have to stay on the soil of your heart for any time at all. They can be removed immediately. And it's not about using your superpowers. Right? The good news is still all about Jesus and his power. Victory is not about something that you do. It's what Jesus can do for your life and in your life. He won the total victory himself, and he made the way for you. The Apostle Paul talks about this victory that we have that's been birthed out of conquest in 1 Corinthians. We have this for you on the screen for your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says this, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God that I don't have to do this on my own. God provides me a way out, and all I have to do is follow him. Lead me, Lord, I follow. Everywhere you open up the door. I'm just going crazy on old school stuff tonight. The word victory comes from the Greek word nikos. In the New Testament, this word nikos is always used to describe the conquest provided for the believer in Christ Jesus. The overall war has been won. It has been decided. The enemy's power is broken over your life. There's no way the devil can actually win now because the tide in the war has been turned. It is finished, was the words of Christ on the cross. See, picture D-Day. Remember D-Day? I think it's coming up. June 6th is the anniversary of D-Day in 1944. It's World War II. Nazi Germany is on a rampage to overthrow Europe and probably the rest of the world. It was in June 6th, 1944. It was the largest amphibious invasion in military history. More than 156,000 Allied troops were landing on the shores of the Normandy coastline, pushing through Nazi Germany's hail of machine gun, firepower. 4,400 Allied troops lost their lives in that one day. 4,400 people. Yet by nightfall, the beachhead was secured by the Allies. Temporary harbors were constructed, and in time, 2.5 million more Allied troops would come through this beachhead. D-Day was marked by historians as a decisive turning point in the war. Are you going with me? Imagine you there standing on this beachhead in your life, friends. This is the turning point of your life. From this beachhead of victory, you get to push forward and keep going. The enemy is already operating from a place of defeat. And yes, there's still fight in him. You've already figured that out, right? There are still skirmishes to mop up. You see, you still got a battle in the streets of France. You'll capture more ports and you'll still need to liberate Paris. And it's still intense, even though the outcome of the war has already been decided. Even though the war is already over, technically. Some of your toughest fights are still yet to come. Yet because the beachhead was established, you will always fight from a place of strength, from a place of... Are you following me tonight? Fight from a place of overall victory in your life because D-Day's done, baby. From the cross of Jesus Christ, a beachhead of power and a victory has already been established for you. See, in your spiritual life, Jesus gave you the nikos. His accomplished work on the cross and the defeat of sin, the power of sin and death. He has established this beachhead of victory so that you can move forward and that you don't have to do it on your own. So that you can push the enemy back from a place of strength in your life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in you because of the finished work of Calvary. You can liberate the streets of your city. You can liberate the streets and the living rooms of your home. The skirmishes that you keep mopping up. You'll capture more ground for the kingdom of heaven. You'll battle for the souls of the lost and lonely from a place of victory, friends. People need Jesus. We can embrace this mindset. I am moving to victory is what we titled this tonight. I am moving to victory. A beachhead has already been established. A beachhead of strength. And from this foundation of victory, I now fight. And now everything I've said leads me to this. The promise of winning the fight for your thoughts comes back to the scripture. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, scripture says, "Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we are fighting with are not the weapons of this world." You're not using machine guns against the devil. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to do what? To make it obedient to Christ Jesus. The weapons you fight with, friends, have divine power, which we see what weapons. We read this later, Ephesians 6, 1 to 18. Write that down, Ephesians 6, 1 to 18. Look at the full armor of God later tonight. The righteousness that we have from Christ, the full gospel of peace and faith and salvation, the Holy Spirit, the word of God and prayer. These are the weapons that have the power to demolish anything that sets itself up against God and against you. You no longer have to let any harmful thoughts take root in your life and in your heart. You don't have to let these things be scattered onto the seedbed of your life and settle in and germinate. And you no longer need to let the devil sit at your table. Instead, you can say, God, help me to take every thought captive to make it obedient unto you. We come in, this is what you're doing when you do that. When you are coming into agreement and into alignment with Christ and his victory for your life. The power comes from Christ. The decision to align with Christ is yours. Nobody else can take thoughts captive on your behalf. No one can grow for you either. Nobody can climb into your thought life and take those thoughts captive. You've got to be part of this. You're a participant in this, not just a consumer, a participant, right? You can step up and take the responsibility to partner with Christ in your destiny, in your identity, in your future, in your purpose, and in your victory. Listen, if you don't take the thought captive, the failure lies with you, not Christ. I know it's not your husband or your mother-in-law, not your honorable prime minister. I know we want to complain about all kinds of, it's not even your boss. It's not even because you are facing troubles, your education or your background. No, if you are living in defeat, it's only because you are allowing yourself to live in defeat. Hey, there's a fight to be fought. Right? And I'm going to fight the battle for my mind. And I have the power of the finished work of Christ in me through the Holy Spirit. Just change the narrative, friends. Flip the script, right? Take those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Get into the word of God and let you begin to see what God actually says about you and for your life. Identify the lies. It's far too easy for us to coddle or to nuzzle up to thoughts that are harmful for us because we love them. The negative. Yeah. Nix the negativity in your life. We are far too agreeable with our thought life most of the time, aren't we? I know I am. Mm-hmm. I know I'll feel better if I just sin, right? If I overeat right now, right? I'm frustrated. I'm just going to eat some more Doritos. If I run to lust, lash out in anger, I deserve this right now. Life is like super hard. I know it's going to hurt me, but I just need to feel better for just a few more minutes. The enemy's sitting at your table. And you need to identify these harmful thoughts for the lies they actually are. You need to examine your thought life and say, hey, before I let this seed be buried in my heart, I need to make sure it aligns with Christ Jesus. I need to make sure it aligns with his word. Hey, thought seed, I don't think you align with God's word. I don't even think you're compatible with what God says. This thought is not from God. Get out. Get out of my life. Get out of my head. They're harmful thoughts for the lies they are. Identify them. You need to examine your thought life and say, hey, before I let this be buried in my heart, this is not from God. Take action, friends, and move to victory. Identify those thoughts. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take every thought captive. We already read this. And make it obedient to Christ, which means you arrest it, seize it by the legal authority in you, and put it into custody. Meaning you forcibly detain it, right? Stop in the name of love. I mean law. Stop in the name of the law. By the authority and the power of Christ vested in me, I bind you in Jesus' name. I know if some of you just went like, oh boy, PC is going over charismatic now. Hyper evangelical rail, boop, over the ledge here. I bind you, battery killer demon, in Jesus' name. Right, Clayton? That's not what I'm trying to put down here, but what you are doing in your thought life, I need you to learn how to take authority in Jesus. Now, in Jesus' name, I take this thought captive because you command me to, God. And I'm using the power that is available to me because of the Holy Spirit. And with that power, what I'm doing is I'm choosing to live in agreement with you, Jesus, with you, Lord. This thought has no power over me. And you know what? Satan is not omniscient. like God. Omniscience, big fancy word, like he's everywhere. He knows everything. Can be everywhere at all times like God. That's not Satan can't do that. He's not all powerful, actually. Scripture doesn't give us any indication that he can even hear our thoughts like God can. So when I come against Satan in my thought life, sometimes I speak out loud with authority and in power. The Lord rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. Some of you are like, flex a little bit. It's okay. Take that authority. Walk in it. Rebuke the devil. And meaning, here's what I'm doing. I'm acknowledging that Jesus has all the power and Jesus Christ is in me and I can exercise that power. I can walk in it. I can utilize it. It's there for a reason. It's not just there to get me to heaven. It's there so I can champion life here and now. Scripture doesn't... anyway. In the name of Jesus Christ, some of you just... step out. Matthew 28:18 talks about the name of Jesus having all power and authority. You know that scripture, right? Colossians 2, I have this one for you, 2:8-10. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceits and according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and all authority. In Christ Jesus, you have, because he's in you and you in him, and you are seated in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand, the hand of power and authority in God, I too get to walk in that. Colossians 3:17 says, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's power in the name. Here's what's cray cray, the conflict I have for you. Here's the problem. You've been in agreement with the enemy far too long. You've been allowing his thought seeds to take root in your heart. You've been letting a murderer and deceiver influence your life. Hey, come on. Let's move to victory, friends. I want my thoughts to line up with God's righteous character. I want to have not only the thoughts of Christ, but I want to have the mind of Christ too. So I bind this thought. I take it captive in Jesus' name. So that thought doesn't take me captive instead. See, this is how you push back. This is how you're fighting back. Instead of letting it have power over you and putting you in custody. Nah, girl. We're going down in Jesus' name. The reason you keep finding yourself in bondage is because you haven't learned how to take those thoughts and bind them and make them obedient to Christ Jesus. By the way, Jesus gives us the best example of taking thoughts captive in his own struggle of taking on the sins of the world. And he's in the garden the night before his crucifixion and he's praying. And Jesus was without sin, by the way. But he knew the work before him required surrender, fully surrendered. And he too had to take his own thoughts captive and make them obedient and honorable to God Almighty. Jesus ended his prayer like this. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. In Luke 4:22-42. This is the perfect model for taking thoughts captive. It's a complete posture of surrender to God. And your will be done, God, not mine. Now, we talked about identifying the lie, the harmful thoughts. Then we take thought captive, that thought captive in Jesus' name and the power. And thirdly and lastly, let me help you. We're almost done. I know I'm over time, but I want to help somebody. I know I'm helping somebody tonight win the war of your mind. Let me help you flip the script to change the narrative of your story with scripture. You've got to get in the scripture, by the way. And I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not going to stomp it. Encouraging you to get in your Bible. You want me to say it again? You can't know God without being in his self-revelation, his word. You won't find freedom doing more yoga and more self-help sessions, by the way. You won't discover your ultimate purpose in life by going to post-secondary education. I love education. It's great too. But the Bible is greater for discovering your purposes. When you truly are getting to know God and find freedom from sin, shame, and broken habits, when you begin to discover why you were created in the first place and placed on this planet, it will change not only your life, but your life will begin to make a deeper impact in the lives of others around you. Truly, you get to make that difference. And that's what we're wired for. We are people of the way of Jesus. That's why we get into his word. We want to learn this, right? This is his words to you and the rest of humanity. So learn it. Memorize it. It will help you win the war for your mind. But this is also why we exist as a church, to lead people on this journey. And I thank God for this privilege to teach us and remind us of his teaching. See, memorizing scripture, by the way, will help you replay it in your mind. In the word, I remember Bible quizzing days. I memorized the whole book of Mark when I was a teenager and played Bible quizzing. Bam! Whoa, come on. forget it all now, unfortunately. Didn't practice like I should have been, right? And disciplined. And that's a lesson for all of us. I need to be disciplined. I want to memorize the word of God. In the war zone of your life, you begin to exchange the enemy's deceptive thoughts for thoughts of truth is what you're doing. When you familiarize yourself with the scriptures and begin to repeat it to yourself again and again, you'll begin to know without a doubt what truth is. And so you can stay on the path of truth. And you might like, PC, I ain't got time for this stuff. Reading the Bible, let alone memorizing scripture, right? But guess what? You binged watched 3 episodes of Love is Blind last night. So, right? You had time to get lost in the spiral of TikTok 2 hours before bed. You even had time to go for a walk with a dog. Poor Mocha. You certainly have time to entertain negative and self-defeating thoughts in your mind. So you do have the time to read and memorize scripture. Listen, if you want victory, you got to make it. You got to make the adjustments. When you lose the battle for your mind, you're defeated. So I'm trying to help somebody. You think it's your money. You think it's your wife. You think it's your daddy issues. No, you can start winning the war for your mind tonight. Maybe for you, it's utilizing YouVersion Bible app and listening to the Bible while you walk your dog or at your spin class, whatever you're doing, on your drive to work. Maybe it might look like pressing pause on that 3rd episode and using that last 40 minutes to get into the Word of God and read it over and over and over again. Go to the kitchen table, choose a devotional on. Are you hearing me? Fill your mind with His Word. Let your mind be renewed. Set your mind on truth. Step into your victory tonight. I got a bunch of scriptures for you. Ready for this? Psalm 119:11 tells you to store God's Word in your heart so that you might not sin. Joshua 1:8 tells you to never let God's word depart from you. Meditate it on a day and night. Colossians 3:16 tells you to let God's word dwell in you richly. Matthew 4:4 says you're to live by God's word like it's food for your life. Hebrews 4:12 describes God's word as living and active for your life. John 15:7 says to let God's word abide in you. Deuteronomy 11:18-20 says, encourages you to put the scripture on your heart and your mind, writing it on your hands and your forehead, teaching it to your children, talking about it at home and when you're away, thinking through scripture. When you lie down and when you get up. Psalms 19:7 says, dwell on scripture because it helps to restore your soul. Psalm 119:32 says, it encourages you to run in the pathways of God's commands, for He sets the heart free. See, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, how did He refute the enemy? By quoting scripture back to the enemy. Amen. Devil, it is written. Memorize the scripture. Write it on anything you possibly can. This is the winning tactic, friends. Scripture needs to be intertwined throughout your life, before your eyes, in your ears, in your locker, on your computer, posted on your mirrors, in your car. It needs to be talked about and sung about and thought about and journaled about as well. Let it permeate your whole and entire life. You can be the DJ in your own thoughts, whatever that looks like, right? DJ your thoughts. Take control. Control a playlist of your mind. Fill it with scripture. Fill it with, let it transform you. Psalms 119:11 says scripture can keep you from sinning. What? Philippians 4:6 says scripture can help you overcome worry. Wow, let's eat this up. Romans 12:2 says scripture can help you discover God's good and perfect will for your life. What if you were to actually play offense in your thought life instead of being caught up in defense all the time? Philippians 4:8 offers us a way to think. It helps us to learn how to play offensively rather than only being on the defense against harmful thoughts. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure and lovely and commendable, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What are the noble things that you're thinking about? What are the truthful things that you're filling your mind with? Imagine if you were to concentrate on thinking about admirable things for a whole day, what that would do to your day. Like, grab a hold of scriptural truths, friends. Pick one per day. Concentrate it for a whole day. I believe it'll change your day. I believe it'll change your life, actually. When I concentrate on it and I pray over it and talk about the word of God with my friends and family, and I'm taking those thoughts captive and binding them in Jesus' name because they don't align with His word. And I begin to think about people being freed in Jesus, and I begin to see the hope that Christ has for my city. See, this is the fruit of living in the word of God. I begin to experience traffic differently. Oh, I love it. See people around me differently, act a little differently, right? I begin to express gratitude for everything instead of complaining about everything, right? About what I don't have or what I need and blah, blah, blah. I begin to experience a closeness with the heart of God. I begin to see more clearly the destiny that God has called me to. Like I'm experiencing metamorphosis and transformation because my mind is fixed on things eternal, fixed on my shepherd, fixed on his goodness, fixed on his calling for my life. I begin to remind myself that the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob and of Mary and of David and Joshua is the same God with me. Like we sang tonight. And I begin to see so clearly now that he's the same God with me. Why? Because I've been in the book. I've been in the scripture. And I can see he's still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe it? I want to end with some music. Let's have the worship team come up. I don't even know what we're going to sing. But let's stand to our feet. I believe this is a night of victory for somebody. And if you're tired and need to go home, I want to let you know you're free to go home. That's okay. But I know Jesus wants to be up to something tonight. And we're 20 minutes over. I preached for a whole ton of time. You know what I want to do is I want to open up this front. I want to make this quick. Let's all stand to our feet, friends. Let's make this quick because I believe God wants to do something and I don't want to waste time. Add attention to our Lord Jesus. It's your move. It's your move. Move to victory. Change your thoughts. You'll change your life. God is for you, not against you. God is with you, hasn't forsaken you. God can lead you. He's fully capable. Will you let him? Will you let him? There's a couple nods. That's good. Yeah, I see a couple. Will you let him lead you tonight? I know every one of us need this. You know, no one in this room is off the hook tonight because we're all human beings. We ain't got it all figured out. We're not perfect and we need Jesus. Thanks, Jesus. Change your thoughts, change your life. God, we're choosing right now to step into victory. Here's what I want to do. I have things I can say. Blah, blah, blah. I just wonder tonight if maybe that chair that you feel so secure in, so comfortable in, is actually what's holding you back. It was a possible obstacle to this next step. I wonder if it would look like stepping across that line tonight and coming out of your chair and stepping forward. And maybe you're uncomfortable with that, but I want to open up this whole front. And I just want to, it's not to make a spectacle of you. Actually, do you know how to change the house lights back there? Jeremy, do you want to help with the house lights? I'm going to just bring the house lights down so you feel a little more comfortable. Safe, whatever. Who wants victory tonight? Yeah, come on forward, come forward, come forward. Two of you, I see your hands. Another one, I see your hand. All right, come to you. That's awesome. Who else? Anyone else want victory? I want to pray the Holy Spirit over you tonight. Come forward, put your toes against this front board. Victory, victory, victory is mine, God. All across this room, come forward. Reed, you want to come help me pray? Pastor Dan, you want to come here up front and pray? Just come in front of all these people. Come forward, come forward. Oh, good to see you tonight. Oh, Jesus, Dale. Love a man, come forward. Yeah, it's good. Blaine, do you want to come on this side with me too? Anyone else want victory? Still room here. Victory is mine, God. Victory is mine. Blaine, if you want to just start laying hands on people and declaring victory over people's lives tonight. Anyone else? You still got room. Three more people right here. Thanks, Jesus. All right, worship, take us away, and I'm going to just pray over people tonight. Come on forward. Yes, come on right up here. If there's more room here. Come on in. Don't be shy. Jesus wants to help you tonight. Man, proud of you, bro. Oh, so good, Jesus. Victory, victory, victory. John, you want to come over this way too? There's more room up front here. Or do you want to help me pray? Come on this side too. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right, let's start praying. I'll pray across down here first. In the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you for Tony. God, I pray for victory tonight.